What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on Lulz, Pat Mayo returns. He's basically a featured guest at this point. He recently signed a new deal with Underdog. He's moving over there from DraftKings. We're going to talk to him about what went into that decision and if he did it all so he could just get one of these fancy neon lights like me. We'll also hit on some golf stuff. I'm sure it's Lulz with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. The chat always gets fired up when Mayo returns here. I was thinking that we are just turning into this very incestuous web between Brian and I, Lulz. Brian does stuff with Davis. You and Davis do things all the time. Brian now goes on your Pat Mayo show. Now you're back on here. We're just one incestuous family at this point.
It feels like you and I need to do some more solo stuff one-on-one. I mean, it's been a while since like Best Ball last year. We should really bring back the movie club. I really like that episode.
Yeah. I did too. I'm in like book club mode now. So I'm in that like wavelength of thinking, you know, we should fire it back up again.
Yeah. People can go search that. We did Owning Mahoney, which Brian, yeah. Have you seen Owning Mahoney? You should.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
I personally think it is the most accurate portrayal of being a degenerate gambler ever put on film.
Yes.
Who's the star of that?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very good performance by him. This is how you get Brian to watch it, Pat. You tell him if he can maybe find a bootleg version of it on YouTube. Because it Brian only YouTube. Watches YouTube. Is it? Oh, yeah, we did it. It is on YouTube, Brian. You could watch this movie.
I've probably already watched it then if it's on YouTube.
Is that you're claiming to have seen every piece of media on YouTube?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Pat, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on your big week. How long has this move to Underdog been in the works for you?
I was kind of weighing my options when my DraftKings deal was coming up, like where would be the best fit for me. Now, obviously, when I heard that you were getting $30 million a year from Underdog, I was like, I can get part of that money. That sounds pretty good. But you talk to all the different operators. I talked to DraftKings, talked to everyone. And just the fit with Underdog made so much sense for me because of some of the stuff that I want to be doing. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I see you at the live finals and be like, hey, that looks like an incredible amount of fun, like doing content, like not from your house all the time. So, that was a part of it that I can go on location to do some shoots, bring the show on the road a little bit and just have some fun with it. And Underdog they're in the mindset right now, at least a lot like where DraftKings was when I first went to DraftKings 8 years ago. And like I was going to Texas at the Cowboys game and doing the show from there, going to Super Bowl Radio Row and doing the show from there, that this just seemed like a really good opportunity, especially with the branding too, because I like Underdog. So I feel like I can portray that on the show. Like, we're doing best ball major drafts right now. The Pat Mayo Experience Listeners League is now going to move over to Underdog for major season. So just a lot of stuff like that, that it was time for a bit of a change. I like to shake it up a little bit, but overall, like, the show hasn't really changed all that much. Just I'm talking about Underdog all the time. And it, my show itself hasn't changed at all, except now I'm just doing more content because I've added Underdog to it.
Yeah, there's a lot there. The one thing, I mean, I've always wanted there to be more functionality for listener leagues, you know, Discord or show themed leagues. It sounds like you talked to them a lot about that. I know it's normally been a tech issue, not a thing that they were not willing to do. So do you guys have some things cooking to make more like individual or community based tournaments?
Yeah, for sure. The issue is going to be, because it is still like a tech issue right now, where it's not going to be like a private league where you can only get the link by watching my show. It's going to be public, but, you know, it's going to be very minimal rake. It's going to be the contest that I design with the flatter payouts. Like, that's what I really wanted to bring, and just have new style of contests and maybe even some different types of contests that we can do that previously were available, potentially available on Underdog, but were not being utilized. I've, you know, been brainstorming for 5-6 years now that different types of leagues that I want to do. And I think that the Underdog app, the Underdog format itself, really lends itself well to what I want to be doing.
Yeah. No, how much have you been dabbling with the golf product, the draft stuff, either best ball or the pick'ems and stuff? I assume the pick'ems is right up your alley from what you've been doing previously.
Oh, of course. I was doing F1 pick'ems on the weekend. Yeah, just because Justin has the Run the Sims product for F1. It's like, I don't really know anything about F1, but I'll dabble here. I ended up winning like 2 GPPs with the projections and a whole bunch of entries on Underdog as well. So I was like, all right, I can do this. I tried hockey. That didn't work out so well. But PGA, I'm just firing all the time. LIV is super soft if you want to get in on the LIV stuff. It happens at like 5 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, you can set it before you go to bed, wake up with a winner. That's always nice. And in terms of the best ball drafts, I had Cody Main on this morning on the show. I did my first two into the $10 Albatross. It's like $50K to first place. So we walked through strategy of what we want to be doing in these drafts, how to advance, and, you know, just try out a few different drafts. I'm going to be basically stealing your ideas and just doing drafts live on the show now.
Awesome. Brian, have you done any Underdog golf stuff?
I've played a few. Yeah. Yeah, I played a few. It's definitely the simplest version of, you could just set it and forget it pretty much for golf, unless there's like weather concerns. But if you're doing the majors, like, who knows what the weather's going to be, you know, so far out. So you could really just set your own rankings and auto draft for best ball PGA.
Yeah. I recently, because I'm not in the golf streets, it was because I was talking to, I think both Jeff and Rick Rungood on previous shows, and they were telling me about the one and done, and I know you've done the one and done format. Is that something that could ever be on Underdog? Would it fit under their gaming umbrella?
I see. I don't think so. I mean, I do that now with Fantasy National, like through them for the Fantasy Golf Championships, the race for the Mayo Cup. I think we're in year 5 for that right now. That just seems like a standalone thing where it's not that it, because it's a super simple format. It doesn't really need to be explained all that much. And I think it would do well, but it just kind of, it's season long. You tie up your money for 8 months. Like, there's a very specific type of person who wants to play in that sort of thing. And you know, when you're on the app, like, you want to be, hey, here's an entry now. Oh, that entry lost, where I'm watching golf live right now. Hey, it's getting a lot windier out there. Let me go hit like, you know, more bogeys right now at like really good odds for the moment, because I'm watching it in real time. Where with the one and done, you make your pick once a week, takes 5 seconds, and you just kind of let it roll.
This is a good call, because I think one of the games that's going to blow up with football this year is the Eliminator contest. Just hearing the chatter and how much fun everyone had playing and sweating it, I wonder if you could have a golf style like that. Obviously, it's not one and done. That's a unique thing where you get to kind of pick it each week. But the Eliminator could be fun for golf as well.
Oh, for sure. Like, I've always, that was one of the things that I've been pitching. Like, for ages, I've been wanting to have like a Survivor style golf event where, I mean, it sucks now because the PGA changed a lot of their rules, but in previous iterations of the PGA Tour, basically you have to pick 2 guys a week and they have to make the cut. Can't use them again after that. If your guy misses the cut, you're out.
Yep.
Would either of you guys want them to add DFS?
In like, what do you mean?
like sour
like
cap.
A DFS product on Underdog.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I mean, even separating from Underdog, like it would be great if there was any providers out there that were wanting to invest in it, just to have more options, more competition. I think we all agree that like having more options for that would be good and force all of the operators to step up their game.
I think I'd like it if they opened a like alternate brand, separate company under the same leadership. Because I feel like the daily best ball is kind of a unique, cool product, and the liquidity would get watered down if they did a DFS football. But maybe for baseball and the other smaller ones where those aren't – like the NBA is kind of catching up, but not really. Go in DFS just for specific sports, maybe even PGA. PGA, MLB, MMA, stuff like that. And then where you have the liquidity for the daily basketball drafts, like NFL specifically, NBA too, basically now, just leave it. Don't mess.
You think it will? I wonder about the liquidity stuff because there still isn't a ton of overlap between, you know, salary cap players coming over and doing Underdog drafts and the type of individuals who seem to love doing drafts who are far less concerned about tying up their money for long periods of time. It seems like they're kind of separated. Like I don't necessarily see if like Underdog just launched salary cap DFS tomorrow that these guys would be like, well, I'm done drafting the big board. Like I'm going to go play USFL salary cap DFS on Underdog. Like I think they're still ripping big board drafts.
I think there's something too that like sticking to what works well and really being the best at that. Like if you start spreading yourself too thin, you know, stuff will ultimately start to suffer. I mean, I think we see that in content. You see that with any emerging business. As the more you grow and grow and grow, you still really need to have your nuts and bolts stuff be the best product that there is in top of market. So I think that's like tripling down on what you do well is also just a very viable strategy right now.
Yeah. I don't know, Pete. If you put 100K up top, you know, for DFS on a Sunday, do the best ball bros just move over? Or a million at first?
Well, now it's apples to oranges because a lot of even the dailies will have like 10K up top at most. So, yeah, if you dangle 100,000, but if all things were equal, like a 10K salary cap, 10K draft game, there's also the element, too, of people specifically within these sports, they get really familiar with the strategies. Like there's a comfort to like knowing the rhythm of like this is where I'm getting my projections. This is how I update my ranks. This is when I do my drafts versus like, holy shit, I now have to solve this new game. And also, I know Brian and all of his sim bros are coming over here right now as well.
I think it is kind of apples because isn't the beginning of the NFL season, it's 100K to first. For best ball, and then I think like the first week, maybe two, and then 50K. That's pretty close. So if you did 50K, fine. Let's just make it apples to apples. 50K DFS, 50K best ball. You know, week five. Does that hurt them? I would guess it does a decent amount.
I
could be wrong.
No, I think you're right for me in that. Like, I mean, I loved drafting a ton of Battle Royale teams this year. It's a legitimate time investment in a way where you're saying like, hey, you could push your play over to playing salary cap on Underdog at a fraction of the time. Yeah, I mean, I think you would want there to be some, like, would you want it in this scenario, Brian, would you want it to be identical to like a DraftKings salary cap game? Or would you want there to be some unique twists to it as a new game?
I don't know. I'd have to see the options presented to me. And then, so, I mean, I'm not going to like create a new game on the spot here.
They'll be on your desk tomorrow morning to review.
Yeah, right. I'm going to create a game right now that's going to take the world by storm just off the top of my head. So I don't know. Like something different would be, or at least a little different would be cool. But Battle Royale's cool too. It's hard to get 150 in. And you know, the problem with last year for me was I'm done with DFS by, you know, whatever, 10:30, 11, if that. And then, you know, hour before kickoff, I'm like, okay, let's rip some Battle Royales. Oh, that's full.
Yeah. I mean,
there's nothing you can do about that, but.
Do you envision, like, do you think there's still a lot of room to grow. I mean, like when you think of Battle Royale DFS content out there, like there's not a ton. I started doing a lot more last year. Obviously the Badge Bros cover that beat strongly. Some sites dabbled in it. Like, do you envision yourself doing more draft game, just either content or strategy content with it?
100%, because I want to get better at it as well. Yeah. Like, it's all a lot. I mean, especially best ball PGA is just brand new for me. And then once you start trying to develop some decent strategy, see what works, what doesn't. And like, even when you guys on Ship Chasing are like trying to go through some of these giant best ball drafts, just like, you know, what works one year might not work the next year. And like, how, you know, once you start getting a large enough sample, then you can start talking to it. Does it translate to other sports? So I'm just, you know, I'm happy to investigate all of this stuff. I just want to, I'm excited to be starting to draft, and then excited to see which one of my stupid strategies might work. Probably none of them, as any of my recent results would probably prove over the past 10 years, but, you know, have smarter people. That's why I had Cody on. I was like, Cody, you did this all last year. Like, fill me in on what you did that worked, what you did that didn't work, where you're trying to tweak, and can we develop a strategy with that? So I'm all gung ho for trying to have new style games, figure out the strategy, and then, you know, people can watch me fail doing it on the show as well, and they can learn along with me at the same time. Of note, the Pat Mayo Open is now live in the major season best ball lobby on Underdog. So six max, $25 entry. If we can fill it up quickly, we'll probably get another one going.
Beautiful. Yes. Oh, I see it right here. I'll just, so we can see it on screen, I'll get the screen share here so people can see it in all of its resplendent glory. The Pat Mayo Open, $25 entry, six max. Love it.
Let's see the breakdown. Yeah.
3,000.
It's first. A little top heavy for you, isn't it, Pat? It's a little top heavy for
you. Yeah, listen, we're working through everything here because we need proof of concept, right? This is the very first one. I need the Lulz audience to go over. I need my audience to go over. We fill this quickly, and then we can start maneuvering around and finding out what the best style is going to be, the proper sizing, the proper payouts. So we just went with this for right now just to, you know, get it out there to make sure that it's in the lobby. I can push to it, and I can start drafting on the show with it. I'm just so excited for it.
I mean, missed that second. The second wasn't. It's not as bad as I thought. I thought the third. I thought it was 3K, then 1K to second. I misread that.
I was gonna say this seems pretty smooth to me. And tenth is a bad. Yeah. A tenth of.
I misread it. You know, I think the attractive part of Underdog right now, for like DFS players to come over and stuff like that, if we're starting new games, you know, DFS games specifically, is since they're, you know, an upstart, they're more responsive to changes, you know, in my opinion, and like they have a rake back program already. Like, and I imagine if they did some DFS thing, they'd have a rake back program for that. And, you know, like a problem with PGA that Pat is well aware of, they already have the issue solved on Underdog, which is if your guy gets ruled out, I'm assuming the rules still apply to PGA like they do every other sport, right, Pete? Where if your guy gets ruled out, it just goes down to your rankings list and pops in who's ever available next into your spot. Does it work the same way?
Do you know, Pat, for golf? I'm not a golf bro.
I mean, I actually don't know. I assume that would be the case, well, but I don't want to say yes or no, not having
okay. It basically, someone in the chat can confirm. But
yeah, someone can confirm. I would bet it's probably the same.
Yep. All right. I did just impulsively. I hopped in a draft here, so you guys can talk through. We're not going to get too derailed here. This will be a quick draft, but it is fun, right? Because you get all of the majors in here: Masters, PGA Championship, U.S. Open, and then it culminates with the Open Championship here. So, Pat, have you already thought about any initial strategy guys you like for this format?
Yeah. So it's really tough. So we developed a new tool at Fantasy National, which is like a season long planner. So, because like not every guy is in every major. Some guys are in some majors, other guys are in other majors. How do you deal with like the live guys who, like, Neiman got an invitation to the Masters, he got an invitation to the PGA Championship, but he's not in the US Open and he's not in the Open Championship. So he's someone who's like rising in the world rankings, playing on live, winning every single event. But, you know, if you only can get two tournaments out of him, how good is that? But you can start to think, Brian, the case would be like, well, if Neiman qualifies for the other tournaments, that means he did really well at the other two majors, and then you would almost have to have him at that point. So you draft a group of six, and two of your six pod moves on out of the first round at the Masters. So the first thing I did was just be like, hey, I'm just going to draft a Masters heavy team to ensure that I get out of the Masters and kind of let it ride after that, like the good course history Masters guys, and ensuring all my guys were actually playing in the Masters as well.
I took Victor Hovland at 1-4 because, like Davis and Matic, I'm a slave to ADP, specifically when I don't know the sport. Did I make a catastrophic mistake with that pick? And we are on the clock. I did just learn about Ludvig. This is the guy that's just burst onto the scene, right? Not a lot of data, but is just crushing everything.
Yeah, and all the data supports him being awesome. Never played at the Masters, though, and you know, not super friendly to debutantes at Augusta National, okay. But he's actually kind of perfectly primed for like the PGA Championship and the US Open based on his style of play. Terrible short game, though, so that could come back to haunt him.
Okay, some pros, some cons, but you know me, always chasing the shiny new thing in these underdog drafts. So Ludvig, come on down.
Hovland was shit in the bed earlier today.
Yeah, Hovland and Cantlay are off to very poor starts at the API.
All right, yeah, but this does not include the API. You know, that's going to be water under the bridge. Let's see here. Daniel wants to know, how much do you need to know about which golfers are likely to qualify for which events?
I do think that's like, listen, trying to prognosticate golf is nearly impossible. As anyone who plays daily fantasy golf, bets on golf, whatever it might be, just there's so many random variables day to day that one of the things that you actually can quantify is who is playing in all the events, who is not. So it's actually incredibly important, especially structuring your team towards the end. You know, the last three picks of a draft, like someone like Luke List, for example, who was off to a hot start today, but he's only qualified again for the Masters and the PGA Championship, but he's currently inside the top 50 in the world rankings, which would get you into them. So can he play well enough over the course of the next 3 months to automatically qualify? And then he's like a great last round pick. If he doesn't qualify for the last two, he's kind of terrible. So there's a bit of who's going to do well at these events and these courses, but also who's going to play well enough throughout the course of the season that they're going to get into all these tournaments. So it's not just like, yeah, here's the guy, he's in all four. There are those guys, but they're all going at the very top of drafts. So it makes like the last three, four rounds like super interesting of who you think is going to be much better than they currently are. And then all of a sudden you get like a basically unowned player and potentially sneak him through to the Open Championship.
Very nice. I selected Matt Fitzpatrick, again, a slave to ADP. Do you guys have any guys you like here in the fourth round? Wyndham Clark, Hatton, Bryson, Cameron.
There goes Neiman. Neiman just popped off the board. That would have been my play. I would go with Thigala.
Over Cam Young?
The internet loves Cam Young. Dude never wins.
I just think he's going to be in a lot of majors.
Thigala's in the mall as well.
All right. We're going to let Pat get his guy here. And Brian, this is, you said the meta this year is going to be living a little, scrolling down. We just scrolled down for Thigala.
Right. Yeah. We're not scrolling down yet, are we?
We just did.
The problem, we need to scroll down with guys who are going to be in
not get drafted.
Well, there is one terrible player who is in all four majors if you want to draft Phil in the last round.
Ooh.
There's also, look at guys who are like, we know Lowry's going to be in one, right? We know.
Yeah, all the guys up here right now are basically in almost all of them.
We know Tiger will be in one. We know Tiger will be in how many?
Tiger's in the mall, but whether he plays in the mall is
Really Tiger's in the mall. Phil's in a
bunch.
Who
do you guys like here? Minwoo Lee, Tom Kim, Jason Day, Keegan Bradley, Russell Henley, Shane Lowry. Anything jump out?
I mean, I liked Corey Connors, who's...
Yeah, that's not bad.
He's in all of them. He tends to play well. I mean, yeah, actually, he's not in all of them right now, but he should be right there. And he always plays the Masters really well, and he's in the Masters.
Bad Boys 4 is coming out this year, so I feel like Shane Lowry.
So, Josh in the chat saying, Phil has been my last pick in almost every draft
that's
so
not
far.
Good.
There you go.
Hey, he came second at the Masters last year.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Phil. Well, actually, I did love Phil. Now I'm ambivalent.
After reading the Billy Walters book?
Yeah, after Billy Walters episode. But, I mean, if he's getting taken all the, like, 100% of the drafts, then fuck it. don't take
it. Like Straka's another one who's in everything. And, you know, he came second at the Open Championship last year. He was top, I think, 12 at the PGA.
He got pulled trigger on Lowry.
Look at this team.
Wow. Look at this team. Victor, Ludvig, Matt Fitzpatrick.
How many spots do you have?
Corey Connor, Sepp. So we're through six. So we have four more rounds because they're 10 round drafts.
Yeah. So, like, someone in the chat just said Gary Woodland over Phil. I think Woodland's, no, his exemptions wouldn't be up because he won the 2019 US Open. This could be the last year he's in everything. Cool. But he's coming off getting brain lesions removed.
Yeah. So
not a great pick at the moment.
No.
You want Fowler? Well,
he's definitely going to be in the Masters if he wants. Fowler's like got to like qualify for a bunch of stuff, doesn't he?
No, Fowler's in everything now.
Okay. Take him then.
Yeah, he got himself back up to like high in the world rankings.
Mm. Jake Knapp is kind of another internet phenomenon going on right now.
He's having a meltdown today.
He's playing really poorly today. He's jacked though, Pete, if that does anything for you.
No, yeah, he was complaining about the Monday finish last week. They had to go into Monday because of a rain delay, and then he was just talking about how it got him out of his lifting schedule, and he was all messed up.
Do you know how much he benches, Brian?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Benny Ann, too.
Yeah, Ann's not currently in everything, but he should be, based on his world ranking, right, like by the time that the qualification comes around, and he's just been playing well.
There's got to be some PGA guys who just get in everything because the PGA don't have any good players left.
Yeah, but it's tricky because the Masters has, like, it's such a limited field.
Yeah.
That all of those guys aren't necessarily in them. They'd have to play their way in over, like, the next 3 weeks if they're not currently in the Masters. So, like someone like Thorbjørn Olesen, for example, he's really, I think he's only in the Masters as of right now. He got a special exemption. He just won in Europe, like, 3 weeks ago. I have no idea if he's going to be good in these majors or not, but he's an interesting pick because if he plays well at the Masters, then he's just kind of in everything else.
Mm. I would say these two are the scrolly F down spots for PGA.
Yeah, golf is the ultimate scroll the F down sport.
Yeah. That's what Dan Nerdy Tenor just said in the chat. So
take Luke List.
Okay.
That's the guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Brian, you want to get really off the board here with this final?
Yeah, Brian, the last pick is yours.
Oost Thiessen? No one's taking him?
Oost's not in the Masters.
He's not?
He didn't get the
win the Masters once?
No, he came second.
Oh.
He lost to Bubba in that playoff.
Time to really flex your knowledge. Which of these ADPs of 60 who haven't been drafted, who are sorted, these sorted by alphabetical? Oh, no, here's where we get the non-drafted guys. This is where you really flex.
Yeah, that's probably a little too far down.
Yeah, none of those guys are in the Masters currently.
Okay.
What about Billy Ho?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Billy Ho's in it either.
How is it going to be that hard to get in
to the Masters? Yeah, especially for him. Like, I would take Olesen just and roll the dice there. That's one of my dice roll guys in the last round.
Yeah,
I like it.
He's definitely you look down on day one. He's plus six type of player, but
no. Olesen is the classic, like, oh wow, he's first round leader. I can't lose, and then he ends up plus six.
Right. Yeah. That'll happen too.
Yeah. I don't like the sound of this. This sounds like a golf sharp. I hope this draft moves the ADP winky face. That's what you get for trying to live a little.
That EV we just gave him.
Yeah, exactly. Pat, I'm sending you an invoice for this draft.
I'm also giving away $5,000 in underdog credits, by the way. If you watch, if you watch the PME, you can find out how to do it.
Okay. So Pat's actually giving out $4,990 in underdog credit because 10 of that is getting put back into my account for that what we just did. No, very fun. Are you going to have specific ranks for that contest up?
Yeah, I'm working on them right now. They'll probably be in my newsletter, and I'm going to like work in conjunction with Fantasy National in order to kind of get my stat rankings. It's really where golf is so split now between LIV and PGA and even the DP World Tour. Like, I don't know. Like, it's tough to come up with how good some of these guys are. Like, maybe all the LIV guys are actually all the best guys and all the PGA guys suck, or maybe the LIV guys just look really good because they play against the same good 10 guys all of the time with 40 jabronis in the field. It's There's a lot of flexibility right now in golf that if you have a good beat of what's going on and you're right, you stand to profit quite a bit in these majors.
Yeah. Any other implications for your underdog deal, what it means for your content, or is a big selling point just that you're able to kind of continue doing what you've been doing?
Big selling point. I mean, that was one of the great things when I was working in conjunction with them. It's like, hey, I still want to be like, people come to me for certain things. Like, I can't stop doing those. That'd be terrible for both me and you of trying to get people onto Underdog and get them to take a chance on a platform maybe they're not familiar with. So, you know, we got the sign off on that. That was awesome. And, you know, we can kind of keep rolling and doing our wacky content that we normally do every single time. Like, the spread pick show isn't going anywhere, put it that way.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting thing. Like, even before I, like, my channel, like, all of the content I initially did was salary cap DFS, like, before, like, the best ball stuff even exploded. And, like, a huge portion of my audience was from that game type. And so it's like, I assume, too, like, there's so many people that love watching, you know, general sports bet picks from you, or which are your T20s on the week, or your one and done stuff. So it's like, it's nice to be able to have all of those different game types and be able to service that across, like, macro analysis that's applicable, but then doing, you know, game specific stuff as well.
Yeah, like, all the information kind of bleeds into one another, whether you're talking about daily fantasy, whether you're drafting, whether you're betting, whether you're playing fantasy pick'ems. Like, it's all the same information. It's just, how do you utilize that information? Where does that information apply best? Is it in this market? Is it in that market? And, you know, eventually it's on the person who is actually putting the money in to make that decision for themselves. I'm not sitting here being like, you need to play this. People know that that is not what I do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it'll be fun. I mean, mentioning this, the scroll down stuff, you know, Brian had talked about it with Davis. I'm working on a video about it. I'm obviously talking about it more through the football lens for the dailies and the season long stuff, but it will be fun to see how strategy content, like, evolves out there, because I think that is one of the selling points and what makes it so fun. Like, the feedback loop, the data feedback loop, is so small on Underdog, and you have to wait so long to get these. Obviously with the dailies there's an expedited thing, but with these season long best ball things, like, as we always say, there's been 4 best ball mania slates. You think about how many slates we have in other sports, and I think knowing that there's a rush to solve this puzzle, and yet there's still so many pieces missing from it, is what makes it so fun.
Well, Brian, this must be, like, super advantageous for someone like you who's good at unpacking, like, sort of the strategy behind everything and coming up with your own methods, because especially, like, football, I don't want to say it's been solved, but there's actually people doing strategy content for this type of thing, because football is just so much more popular that when you get into these other sports, it's like the Wild West. If someone comes up with a theory and releases a video, that might just be the prevailing thought at the time. You can just go the opposite of that.
Yeah, definitely. No one cared about that playoffs made a little bit of a difference 2 years ago. So that, but everyone kind of knows that meta now, and everyone will know the scroll the F down meta shortly enough, is my prediction. So, I mean, I'm not sure, like, how much edge you can squeeze out of like a BBM 4. Like, I mean, like, obviously it's there. I think there's I think you could squeeze more out of a battle royale type of scenario than you can out of BB4. Like, it's still obviously a skill game, right? Like, if you just draft the worst players, you're going to get crushed. You're going to have no chance at all. So, like, you still have to, like, you know, apply the strategy. I'm just like, I think most of that EV probably comes from, like, playing this new ABC that's kind of developing over the 4 years of BBMs, like, which is still, you know, getting modified yearly by yearly. And then everyone else is just, you know, donkeys not doing it. And that's where you get your EV from. That's probably my guess, but, you know, someone could probably do more meta analysis on all that data. It's kind of hard to wrangle since there's so many entries into each one. But, like, using logic, sorry, Peter, just really quick,
no,
I think
good.
You can just kind of, like, just use logic, you know, for when you have small sample sizes, and just do your best on like what makes sense, what strategically makes sense to you. And then hopefully years later, you can be proven right.
I like it.
Yeah. And I think it is fun to, I think the whole knowing ball, like across these sports, can really be rewarded. And it kind of dovetails with your scrolling down thing, right? Where if you have a really intimate knowledge of the sport, like take, for example, like say I just went in there and if I just drafted off of ADP in the Pat Mayo Open, I probably wouldn't draft like quote unquote bad teams because like the ADP is probably pretty solid, but I'm not going to be scrolling down for anyone. Or if I do scroll down, I'm clicking a guy who's not playing in the majors because I don't fucking know. So like it is, I think, fun to know that against the casuals, if you are an obsessive of that sport, that there is just a baseline level of edge you have over the field by being intimately familiar with the sport.
Well, the move is going to be do your drafts in the Pat Mayo Open. And then, I mean, most people playing in that, if I'm pushing them to it, they're watching the show. And I mean, they know not to parrot my ideas, but they're probably pretty sharp with golf anyway, at least knowing who everyone is, that you can go do those drafts. They'll probably be sharper than the $10 Albatross ones. And then you can be like, oh, wow, like these guys that were going three rounds higher in the Pat Mayo one are now going three rounds lower here. Like that's where you can probably do your test runs to get a shot at that big prize. Just because I just do think that the two draft lobbies will be very different.
Yeah. They might this year, they might release the data coming out of the draft, like every month or quarter or something like that. So like right now it's just after the season's over, you get the data. But if you get it, if they end up doing that, you could also like, oh, I think, you know, Pat and Pete are really sharp, or whoever the ship chasing bros are really sharp. And you could go and look and be like, oh, they're taking Marvin Mims 80% of the time, you know? Yeah. You know, or whoever, and, you know, adjust your strategy off of who you respect, or if you're really good with data, you could come up with strategies like looking like how it's going and where it's trending and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff you could do.
I was going to ask you about, there was an argument in the Deposit Kingdom Discord that broke out once in the Badge Bros about having like the universal player ID stuff associated. And one of the counter points made up, I think it was by John, coming from a poker background, is that like part of, you know, you kind of earn your stripes in your edge by putting in the reps and putting in the drafts, and having that data just publicly available, someone could quickly do data analysis on you without ever having to put a cent on the site and know all about your style of play, all about what you do, and essentially have like a portrait or like even understanding the games without ever having to put any skin in the game themselves. Do you have any thoughts on that dynamic?
I do. You asking me or?
Yeah, yep, to the floor, but go ahead.
You're going to say very clearly not asking me, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, like what percentage of bro out there has never played best ball and can put together this winning strategy of, you know, of getting this data? And then
I guess like reframe it maybe through the lens of dailies, where there is a higher volume of data. There are people, like there is way more feedback loop associated with that. You could get up to speed a lot quicker.
Yeah, I imagine you could. That, I mean, that's a fair criticism. I have to think that through a little bit more. But I'll, you know, another thing is transparency, right?
Yep.
Like we get to see all the drafts, and you could check and see if there's any cheaters. That's a lot of value.
That was the other side of the argument from Sacrilegious. He wanted it to be able to go through that and be able to kind of sniff that stuff out, like crowdsource some of that data vetting to the people.
It's also available for everyone, so they could use it themselves to their own advantage, to the skill level that they have, I we're going to be talking about it next week, and I'm putting like a lot of effort in my best ball tool to show some of these stats.
Yeah.
But I still think like the poker stats were way more valuable, like for deciding how your opponent is going to play specifically. Now, maybe we could drill it down even more like in the future with some good ideas. So like, I wouldn't go like, oh my God, you know, like this is the end of the world. Like everyone was with the, you know, the auto drafting last year, you know, it's helpful data that will help you, but like the idea of like someone coming in and really utilizing this to some extreme advantage that they wouldn't have had and not never even playing best ball in this analogy, like, I don't know, I wouldn't really worry too much about that. Maybe I didn't read, I wish I would have read that thread, Pete. Maybe I would, think differently.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe someone can dig it up for you. Pat, do you think some of the reasons why, you know, DraftKings kind of really separated from FanDuel, at least on the salary cap side of things, is because they were so willing to share that data? Like, you can get a CSV for every single slate in the way that's like literally impossible to do on FanDuel. That obviously allowed for more content creation, more strategies, all that stuff. Like, do you think that is a key reason why DraftKings had that advantage?
Potentially so, but I think it's just they kept up with their contests and like made viable contests versus FanDuel, who didn't.
Yeah.
Like that, like, I mean, you can go as deep into it as you want. Like, I saw someone in the chat just point out that, you know, what Brian's talking about is something that you could do pretty easily if you knew how to do it. Nothing's stopping you from learning how to do the same thing. But I also don't want to know how to do that. Like, I don't care. And I know that most people, if you're trying to attract the largest audience possible, 99% of people don't want to do that. They just want to draft. So there's different parts of it too, where once you start getting to the level that you guys are talking about, like, most people just aren't doing that. So you have to not cater it to those people in a way, unless those are really your money makers, which they might be, as you know, we've seen, like you said, Pete, with like downloading CVS, that way you can do content off of it. The sites can put up their projections for it very easily, thus encourage people to go play it and make it easier to run your data sets and enter your lineups. I understand all that. But if you're just trying to attract new people, you need to make the game as simple as possible. And at least, you know, people need to feel like they have a chance to win, right?
Yeah. And just for the record, I put the 150 maxer stats on my site for free. So, any, you know, like the, at least the, you know, the, I compiled it the way I thought was useful. So, it is available, even if you don't know how to do it, that at least is available for you. And, you know, if you got $20 and you buy my app, then you get, you know, everyone's theoretically, if we get it going. But like, thinking about it more, Pete, I really think the only distinction is the guy who has never played before.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're playing best ball, like everyone has access to the data. Like, is it really that big of a deal? Like, I think it's the transparency of it all just trumps all that. But the guy who's never played, who's going to come in and dominate, I just don't even see that happening. But that is a good question. Like, hey, I paid the money, he didn't.
Yeah. And I'm not even saying, I'm just voicing that side of the argument that there is like a learning curve. Like, you think, at least for me, like when I was playing salary cap for the first time, then Showdown, like the amount of money I punted off, tried to figure things out, understanding it and getting familiar, like that is kind of a nice like barrier of entry. Like, you have to pay those dues to like get up to speed in a way you could maybe shortcut it otherwise. But I do think that is ultimately the challenge for a site like Underdog. Like, you are trying to balance the equilibrium between these power users who are so hungry for the data and want all of this stuff. They are going to turn into super users and they're going to max contests and they are going to put so much liquidity on your site. And you're also trying to balance that with the casual players who just want to come in and have fun. And I think a lot of people would agree, like, the ecosystem on DraftKings in a lot of ways has been, the scales have been tipped too far, or a lot of the minnows have gotten swallowed up by the sharks because of the accessibility of these tools and how sophisticated they are and the resources and where we're at with the games. And it's like, now a lot of people don't want to go play there because they know they have no chance to win and compete. So it's like, how do you strike that balance?
Well, within the app itself, I think, I mean, having DraftKings as a DFS app and DraftKings as the DraftKings Sportsbook as its own separate app, within Underdog, you can do the drafts, you can do Pick'em, all within the same thing. So you can do drafts against one another. But, you know, it's not like we all can't win together on Pick'ems at the same time, too. So there's more of a communal aspect that way, I think.
I would say, Pete, the argument, you can make the argument the other way, too. And it makes just as much sense, if not more, that for the casual person, wouldn't they love to know in DFS how many uniques Utical uses, how often he's, you know, not, you know, waiting for late game NBA.
I don't think
NBA.
The casual gives a shit about how many times they're duped.
Oh, okay, but they can have it if they want it.
Oh, sure. I'm saying they can have it on DraftKings. Yeah,
there's more than just casuals. Like, there's guys playing 20 lineups, 50 lineups. There's guys trying to be pros and stuff like that. So like, I think Utical knowing that John Smith 777, you know, his strategy doesn't change anything for him. But the opportunity to know Utical or just someone at RotoGrinders compile that information and write an article about it, which they might read and go, oh, that I didn't know he likes, you know, a 2.58, you know, two build in basketball, you know, like it's very easy for them to get. So I would say if anything, it goes the other way. And what happened in poker, by the way, anyways, is somebody just pops up a site and then sells the data. So like you can get all Tan Bond's hands, the hand histories. I don't know if they still had it, but I'm just saying back in
the
day.
Is this how you tried to do a segue into a topic you want to talk about?
It would be a beautiful segue, but it wasn't intentional.
Even I saw that. I assume you're talking about the Haralabob stuff. I saw that pop up on Twitter yesterday.
That's how good I am. Perfectly natural, unintended segue. Well,
it's very – I just finished writing my personal newsletter for tomorrow, the P.O. Box. Subscribe for free every Friday in your inbox. But I wrote up about the dynamic with Tom Dwan and then some of my backstory with Tom Dwan, who, for people who don't know, was like the golden boy of poker because he was this super fun action player that played on all of the shows. And now it's some of these debts have been publicly outed previously, but they've kind of reached a fever pitch in the past week or so. And Haralabob had a thread about it the other day. And it was actually really interesting. I mentioned this to Brian in our DMs that like the parallels from learning about Phil Mickelson being a beard for Billy Walters and kind of leading to the fallout of their relationship was very similar to Tom Dwan was serving as a beard for Haralabob, getting down massive bets, presumably NBA bets, because that was his specialty, and owing him a lot of money. And, you know, Haralabob was free rolling him, I believe 25% of the stake just to do this stuff. And, you know, then Dwan started skimming a little bit, going and using the numbers elsewhere in the same way Mickelson was using Walters' information at other books. And now he owes him like a third of a million or something like that.
How, Brian, how good do your numbers have to be if you're just free rolling someone 25%?
Well, I'm not Haralabob, unfortunately. but yeah, I'm assuming very, very, very good. And I don't know if you guys saw that tweet. He offers any beard two options, the 25% free roll or the 50-50 split, but you front the money.
Pony it up.
He always wants the 25% free roll, which tells you something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's when you know people have gambling addictions, right? When you have a spot that good where you're like, I just have to go around. And because Tom Dwan has this persona as an action player, and it's like, yeah, you're really good at poker and card games, but come bet all you want. Like, I mean, that is like the juiciest spot to be in. It's why he was his beard. It's why like getting a guy like Floyd Mayweather, another one of Haralabob's beards, is so valuable, because it's just the ultimate disguise to get that stuff down. And it seems like he legitimately let his own gambling addiction ruin it. That was a cash cow.
It's got to be either gambling addiction, or it could be a combination of things, obviously. Also, he's just super splashy, was, you know, winning everything on the planet. And he's just like, I'm just going to bet with this group. And what happened, the one I read was he was betting with another group too, and that group lost. And so the profits he got from Haralabob went to that other group's losses, which is why he owed him like $5 million or whatever. He said mid seven figures, which he clawed back through another guy who owed Dwan. But now we know three dudes he owes, right? That probably means there's others.
Yeah.
Which then also means he's probably beyond just being a splashy gambler. But I could see a young dude who's just having so much success just take all any sort of tip or anything and just like, yeah, I got 10 million just sitting here that I'm gambling with right now. I'll bet another million, like whatever.
Well, you've been through some of these streets, Brian, and Pete, I'm curious to get your ideas on this as well, that if you're someone who is so young and has that much success in an industry like this that's so volatile, be it a professional gambler, professional poker player, anything like that. I mean, you can see with child stars as well. What do you think the success rate of those guys is long term of not flaming out? Whereas if you experience that success at like 40 or 35, where you're, you know, getting closer to middle age, that you might be able to deal with it and not get yourself into these problems by overshooting your skis that much.
I mean, I would say like like an almost 100% failure rate, like really high.
Because it's like the same kind of mentality, and I don't know, like worldview that allows you to go shot taking and really press an edge, strike while the iron's hot, is the same thing that prevents you from understanding good bankroll management. You know, where it's like, if you were very measured in that, you're not going to be like, hey, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm going all in. And so then it's like, well, how do you ever get to have so much money where you could lose it all, you know, and actually manage that money? It's like, I think guys like Tom Dwan, I think you see this a lot in the crypto space too, right? Where they're like, hey man, this is a chance for me to run it up. And you maybe do that a couple times and you're like, holy shit, I am God. I see the market. I'm the TNA, you know, king. Next thing you know, you lose it all on one bad trade.
There's so many other variables too, though, like Black Friday, you know, like that they had no clue that was coming. Right. I mean, I'm sure some of them maybe thought about it, but it's like, you know, how many young people are thinking, oh, the government's going to shut this entire industry down just some random Saturday or whatever. So like that had, because the cash cow from being sponsored back then was huge too. It's not like DFS, you know what I mean? Where you might get a content site gig at 60K a year or something, you know, like they were getting hundreds of thousands a month in sponsorship money, which would have, you know, you would think would last you forever. But I think it's just very rare to have that kind of like Billy Walters, Bob Vulgaris type of, you know, syndicate builder, Spanky, Rufus. They're really, really rare and usually work with people that keep it together. And gamblers usually don't have that skill set that you know, that their partners have. And, you know, like a good example of someone succeeding is Martin Papagates, one of the Burrito Brothers, with his Pete, you keep mentioning, he's now like an AI newsletter, bro, making like 100K a month on a newsletter. Have so like, these type of guys, though, they're very rare.
Wait, hear about the,
I did not hear. Can you explain this to me?
You know, the Chipotle brothers from DFS, yeah. Right? So one of them now has one of the biggest AI newsletters in the space, making over 100,000 in just ad revenue alone. I think it has, I mean, hundreds of thousands of subscribers to it. It's on the same network that we do the Fantasy Life newsletter, my newsletter, the Beehive. And he just did an interview with them the other day and talking about his backstory and all of this stuff. But yeah, just like a guy who just hops into a new space and immediately spins it up.
Yeah. I wish I had talent, yeah. And I didn't have to be someone who just grinded. It sounds so much better.
It's not just the grind too, like they succeed in their grind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like he just has an idea of how to do things, and then, you know, he can get, I mean, just knowing how to do stuff and having these ideas before everyone else. I mean, I have no ideas, original ideas of my own. I can't beat the market on anything. I need to kind of get in a little bit early and grind away. These people, they have the ideas. They're pushing it. That's just amazing stuff.
Two other examples. Now that we're thinking about this, I would say, Chess is okay, honestly. Yeah. I know he's a polarizing character, but like, you know, unless of course his fun goes to zero, and then he would be just, you know, just like the rest of the flameouts. But you know that he's not there yet, and maybe his fun really takes off. I think you could put Alex in this category, Alex Baker. Like, even if Alex stops playing DFS, he's fine. You know, I'm sure he's got big equity in Stochastic that's worth plenty of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the people who are that smart, they're always going to be able to figure out the next thing, figure out the inefficiencies in a market, or they understand content. I will say one of the things about the Chipotle brother in that interview, he admitted one of the, obviously very sharp, knows what he's doing, but also said he spent a shit ton of money on paid advertising. And one advantage he had compared to other, you know, fledgling newsletters is he's like, yeah, I just have a bunch of powder on the side and I can just pay to get this into some sort of velocity. And as we all know, that stuff really snowballs. And he's like, yeah, I have the capital from my other endeavors. I'm going to short circuit this. I'm not going to have to roll up my sleeves, you know, and do this for years and years. I'm just going to pour gasoline on the fire.
It was also good timing because all the companies pulled out of Twitter. He probably got a really good, like probably the best rate you're going to get for all those ads, like right in that time period.
Yeah.
I wonder how scalable Twitter is for things like that, because I've always heard, like, to this day still, like, Facebook advertising is still the best advertising you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I would believe it. It does seem like even stuff with, I mean, Facebook Marketplace is now massive with some of that stuff, of like another way people are getting on the site and used to using more. I've like, it makes me feel like a post-boomer boomer, in that it's like, I don't go on Facebook because that was like the old thing, and then not realizing, no, there is still a lot of people out there who are using Facebook for these reasons.
Yeah, well, it's all older people too. So, like, you know, they don't know what's going on, but they have money, so they can buy things.
Yeah. Do you think, back to the, like, the Dwan and all of the debts, do you think there's anything underneath the surface in the DFS? How about this? What do you think the most amount of money for an outstanding debt in the DFS space with anyone within the DFS? Like, what do you think that number is? Because the publicly available that Dwan owes Jungle Man, I believe, is like $1.3 million. What do you think is the most amount of money owed between two DFS players?
That's a great question.
It's a smaller market, though, right? You don't have,
for sure.
So
you could lose millions in DFS real easy.
Oh, three.
How about this? How about
3 million over under?
How about 23 million? The Jaguars and parlay pick here. Does that count? He owes them 23 mil.
Yeah, the Jags have a lot different answer to this question than the rest of us.
They're like, it's really high. You can lose a lot. I don't know. That's a good question. Because also, too, Pat, there's nothing stopping two DFS players from doing a sports bet, you know, deal. Like,
oh, for sure. But then like, that's out. I would consider that outside. I guess with the Dwan stuff, it is outside the realm of poker. Mm-hmm. Because it is, you know, sports betting, whatever it might be. That, yeah, I hadn't considered that. I was just thinking of, like, when you said DFS, that it was a DFS debt, not other things potentially on top of that as well.
Yeah, but oh man,
I as you think about it, I was just going to comment here. So Spurry says, are DFS guys sharing money with each other? I mean, I would say across all forms of gambling and fantasy and sports betting and like that, it is very, very common for people to loan money, float money, have deals, have stakes. Like, money is getting exchanged in these industries at a very, very high clip, more than like any other standard industry between like two grocers at the at Albertsons or whatever. Like, it is very commonplace.
Well, didn't you say that there was who was the guy the whoever like the Circa Millions guy was, whoever that dude's name?
Oh yeah, Sean Perry.
Yeah, that he was like betting on DFS contests, although not playing in them.
Private ones.
Yeah.
That they were like rigging.
I would say I share my money with DFS guys. They just don't share it back.
They use it to build AI newsletters.
they take it in things called GPPs and just never give it back to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that probably, yeah, I mean, Nerdy says, not sure why, but it seems like equity swapping is much more common in the.
Yeah. Maybe even me and Daniel might have done that. or maybe we did. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, we Brian and I often lament, Pat, that it's a bummer that in the DFS space there isn't like the equivalent in poker where two guys start beefing and then you always end up with heads up for rolls, and every once in a while they result in really public, high profile heads up poker matches of like, let's just both put our dicks on the felt and play this out. Like in DFS, we see all the chirping and chirping. Outside of like the Osimo and Empire Maker kind of one, I feel like that's the closest we've gotten to anything in the fantasy realm.
I'm actually surprised like two big players at two separate sites haven't done that. It's sort of like, hey, you know, they can beef all they want, but just go heads up and like, you know, bring attention to both of your sites at the same time. Like you could win money. Yeah, you're paying rake, but you might get an amazing amount of subs out of it with all the attention.
I think I agree, but I also think in general, sites are probably pretty scared to pull out that thread of public accountability of all of our, because it then it's not just you, it's who are the other people you're employing at your DFS site? Are they winning players over a long period of time? It's like, once you air out all that dirty laundry, it's probably a net negative for the entire tout space.
Maybe, but if you just put like one guy, if it was like Osimo, like back like 3 years ago, so Osimo yeah. takes on whoever, and it's like head to heads, it's baseball one night, golf the next night, football on Sunday, like three times a week, whatever it is, over the course of like 4 months or something like that. Like that would have been fun.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, Dan has it right. Fantasy is just different. You know, it's not as cool as head-to-head poker. And back to like the content sites, it's just, there's either too much bad blood or they don't want to promote each other. Like, cause you like, do you think Ship It Nation, do you think Run Pure Sports is going to do a battle with Ship It Nation? Like they don't want anything to do with that. You know,
they don't, but that would be the perfect way to capitalize on their entire situation for both of them though.
It would be awesome. It would be great. And we would cover it. I'm sure. Right. Pete, and you know, and then you'd make,
oh, lines. You and me would be there with our little fake mics at the proverbial ringside there, Brian. Yeah.
That would be super fun. You know, but like, you know, you could see like a site like ETR Stochastic going like, we're too big. Like, why would we get in on this? And we'd just promote, we're promoting our competition, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, it would have to be two sites of basically equivalent stature in terms of members, in terms of whatever. And then you could kind of use it as a, you know, as the tide rises all boats of, hey, we'll just, no matter what happens in the, unless one person just gets dummied the entire time, it makes you look really bad. If you're going to play head to heads in sports using projections on DraftKings every single night, like, you know, it's probably going to be like 55-45 by the time it's all said and done, isn't it?
I think the way it would work the best is if you had an independent arm, say a Lulz, who agreed to like a certain set of parameters and structure. And obviously Brian would be very good at coming up with like what is actually a reflection of being a better DFS player. And then you would get that sponsored, you know, to help fund it and kind of contribute to the prize pool. Because I think you probably want both people ponying up their own money, so they're playing with skin in the game, but also an additional cherry on top to make this worth it. And then because it would be standardized and be like, these are the rules, who wants to come and play within this tout, you know, Thunderdome, so to speak, then there's less of like, because every time now it's like, these guys are going to go back and forth. I want to play this game. No, I don't want to do this, but no, it's for a month and in 2 months. And like all of that slows these things down as if it's a fucking tout boxing match that's never going to occur. But I think if you standardized it and then just said, who wants to come participate, that could work.
I mean, I once pitched a reality show idea to DraftKings like 5 years ago. It was just called Fantasy House, which I assume has great SEO value if you're going to put that into Google. I don't know exactly what comes up from it, but if this you could get to the top of the search, it would be excellent news. People would discover it, where you just take, you go and find like the 12 touts or whoever they are, you know, awkward fellas, and pair them up with 12 babes. And then they have to coach the babes into DFS lineups every single football like weekend for like the main slate, and then people like get eliminated, they win, there's challenges, it's awkward, there's babes. It is the perfect
idea. I hope you copyright this idea, because Run Pure is running with this idea. I mean, they're seeing, there's dollar signs flying out of their ears right now as they think about this.
Well, listen, I'm friends with Wiley. If Wiley wants the idea, that one is his if he wants to bankroll it.
I mean, how many views can this video get if I title it Hot Naked Girls Playing DFS and we make until the hour mark for them to get the payoff to the joke?
Well, now we can. Now, why don't you do that? We can bet on it. There we go. And then I can owe Brian like 200K or something.
There you go.
You know what I would like to see is like a round robin kind of, you know, play some DFS, play some best ball, play, you know, cash games, GPPs, mix it up.
Yeah.
Sports betting. And also I think it'd be more fun. Pete, you mentioned like come up with something that really proves who's the best. Mm-hmm. I would think that would be like almost impossible because it would take too long. Yeah. But it also would be more fun if it was kind of random, like the World Series of Poker every year, you know? And like, you know,
but
you can
want if the you, bragging rights to be meaningful too, not just like a silly fun.
Well, thing. it kind of has both ways. Like the World Series of Poker kind of has both too, because you could go, I won the World Series of Poker, and like everyone's like, oh my god, that's amazing. But we all know that it takes an extreme amount of luck to win any sort of large field GPP one random year. So like it kind of has both.
It's honestly insane. I know we have this conversation all the time, but it's crazy that, you know, a DFS provider or whatever, like, isn't doing like player of the year award. Like that kind of stuff, when you think about, you see all these guys in poker and it's like, they're making a good living. Do they want to like fly over to Eastern Europe to play some World Series of Poker circuit events? No, but they want that fucking player of the year title and they grind hard and there's prestige to it. Like that kind of stuff fans the flames of interest. It's a really good story for casuals to follow along, a thing for minnows to aspire to. And they're like, we need more of that shit.
Yeah. And I mean, it would be kind of cool if they did this Tout Wars. Let's just call it Tout Wars. Why not?
I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's and a baseball thing, right?
Yeah, and it's a baseball thing. Yeah,
and you let regular people in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a ton, but just some. Like,
they have to make a video saying why they want to be in and why they should be the one teaching hot babes how to play DFS.
There it is.
All right, we got to get out of here. Pat Mayo, congratulations on joining Underdog. They need to check out, of course, the Pat Mayo Experience on YouTube. They need to check out the new contest on Underdog. Anything else you should put on people's radar?
Yeah, the Mayo Media newsletter has a lot of this information in it. So, like, if you want to get in that, the $5,000 draw is actually five winners, $1,000 each in terms of Underdog credits. All that info is in the newsletter. It's a free newsletter. So, you just go to Substack, type in Mayo Media, and you can find all this information in the descriptions of any of the shows on YouTube on Mayo Media Network under the Pat Mayo Experience or the Pat Mayo Experience podcast itself. And Brian and I did like a 3-hour show last week. So, that's up there now if you want to, you know, go to sleep really early.
There you go. Brian, anything else on your end?
We got that best ball info on my site. If anyone wants to check that out, MMA ownership I'll do this weekend. And hopefully next week we'll have a update to the app with all this new stats, the controversial stats.
I'm fine. I mean, you released a controversial app overlay for Underdog last year that promptly got shut down about 12 hours after our stream. So we'll see how long this one survives, Brian. I should also mention, I think if you're watching on YouTube, you can see down below, we got some Lulz merch. I did just get an email notification, and apologies if I'm doxing you for this, but I think you're okay, me letting the world know, Nerdy Tenor, that you just purchased a Lulz pint glass. So if you want to be sipping out of the same pint glass as DFS Crusher, music extraordinaire, poker, by night player, Nerdy Tenor, you can buy a Lulz mug. We will see you guys next time on Lulz. Peace.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.